Using narratives in counseling. If you've been in our Track 1 training, you've probably heard me tell the story of the Stargraph folks. And I don't mean that story in a mean-spirited way, but it was interesting to watch the way they determined how or what passages of Scripture should be used in counseling. Many times that is a key question, especially for folks who are just kind of getting started in it. And so this particular group had designed a scientific way to determine what specific passage you should go to help each one of their counselees. Now, if you've ever done some of the scientific analysis, you know you need to keep your contingencies very, very tight. So they made the theological decision that the fundamental need of every person is love. And therefore, they went to 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 4 to 8, the famous love chapter. They listed the various characteristics of love that are there, and they designed an entrance quiz for each one of their prospective counselees based around those characteristics of love. The counselee would fill out that quiz. They would take the answers, put it into the computer. The computer would spit out this star graph, and it was a cool-looking thing. I mean, the nice thing about computers, I mean, they can make anything look cool. And that's, by the way, you know, you see these people who have brains and pictures of brains and brain scans and all these colors. They say, boy, that must be right because it looks so cool. Don't be fooled by that. But anyway, this would really look sharp. It'd have these different points on the star. And the idea was wherever the point was largest, whatever characteristic of love that was pointing to, that's where the counselee was most deficient, and therefore that's what they needed to start counseling them in. And so they had literally reduced their counseling process down to five verses in the Scripture. Now, we hear that, and again, I'm not trying to be cynical about that. I'm just telling you that's the way that they chose to do it. We hear that, and we say, well, that ain't so good. The Bible's bigger than five verses. But let me ask you this. If I were to listen to the last 20 hours of your counseling, or if I were to look at your last 20 homework assignments, how many passages of Scripture do you tend to use? Some of us have like our 10 bread and butter passages. Or if you say, nah, it's more than 10. Okay, well, your 20 bread and butter passages. Or how many do you want me to say before we can honor? You know, I just tend to gravitate to those, right? I'm not going to have somebody slip up to the piano and quietly play just as I am, but right? Sure. And I guess what I'm asking in this particular session is it possible for some of us that we get a bit stale if we tend to go to the same passages over and over and over, and if we're then not really growing in our comprehensive use of Scripture, and worse, thereby we're depriving our counselees of the sufficiency of the Scripture that we say that we believe in. Now, if you're relatively new at counseling, and I'm kind of assuming at Track 4 that you're not, but if you're relatively new at counseling, what I want to talk to you about in this hour, you might want to put on the to-do list, on the this is a longer range goal kind of thing. But I think for many of the folks who are in Track 4, this needs to be something that we think about right away. It's the question of using narratives in counseling. And what I'm trying to do is to take where you are right now as a biblical counselor and just try to nudge you into the next level of proficiency. And isn't that my job? Isn't that what we're supposed to do in a conference like this? Is to have a gentle nudge. So are you interested in receiving a gentle nudge? Are you? Well, does the person next to you need a gentle nudge? And would you be willing to listen along? Yeah, I should have said it that way. Okay, this matter of using narratives in counseling, you might want to just pause and ask yourself, when's the last time you used a narrative or a story in the counseling process in any way, shape, or form? Now, I realize for a number of you, I'm quite sure this is the case, a number of you could probably honestly answer that question with a yes. I don't doubt that. But I think for many of us would say, you know what? We don't do that nearly as frequently as we should. And I would tell you, that's true for me too. In fact, This track four, it's a revolving track. Pastor Helmer has designed it to be such that if you are in a situation where you want to keep coming back, we're trying to make track four fresh material every year, and that's especially for pastors who want to bring people from their church to track one and then just kind of be with them, but they don't want to have the same thing over and over. So we're trying to make track four different every year. So he comes to us and he says, hey, what are some of the things you're thinking about? What do you think counselors need to work on? What topics would you like to do? And frankly, some of the topics that I choose are ones I think I need to work on. Okay, so I would just tell you, I think I need to do this better. I'm not coming to you as, I do this great, I wish you'd be like me. I'm saying, as I've thought this through, I think I need to do this better. So this is like one of these self-confrontation kind of sessions. And if you want to sit in and just enjoy me convict myself, that's kind of the point of this. But I'm wondering, as I even think about my own counseling, whether or not I need to do a better job of using narratives in counseling. So if there's anybody else who might want to stand in line with that, let's go there together, okay? All right, now, let's just talk about some reasons. I mean, why? You know, why? It's not just because, well, Steve said we should, or because Faith Biblical, whatever, said we should. That's not the point. I mean, what are some reasons why we ought to use narratives or stories in counseling? Several of them. First of all, there's just a lot of theological reasons why we should use narratives in counseling. Look at Romans 15, if you would. Let's start there. Did you bring your Bible to a conference on biblical counseling? What a novel thought, huh? Romans chapter 15, and the context here is Christian liberty, and specifically how people who are stronger spiritually should respond to those who are weak, which in and of itself is an interesting counseling topic, but that's not really what I'm talking to you about today. But embedded in that discussion is a point about narratives or stories or what has happened previously. I want to read the whole text, Romans 15, 1-13. Be looking for some counseling themes that you see in this passage. There's really an incredible number of just issues that our counselees often need to work with that are found in this text. Romans 15, beginning at verse 1. Now we who are strong ought to bear the weaknesses of those without strength and not just please ourselves. Each of us is to please his neighbor for his good, to his edification. For even Christ did not please himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of those who reproached you fell on me. For whatever was written in earlier times was written for our instruction, that through perseverance and the encouragement of the Scriptures we might have hope. Now may the God who gives perseverance and encouragement grant you to be of the same mind with one another according to Christ Jesus, so that with one accord you may with one voice glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore accept one another, just as Christ also accepted us to the glory of God. But I say that Christ has become a servant to the circumcision on behalf of the truth of God to confirm the promises given to the fathers and for the Gentiles to glorify God for his mercy, as it's written, therefore I'll give praise to you among the Gentiles, I'll sing to your name. Again he says, rejoice, O Gentiles, with his people. Again, praise the Lord, all you Gentiles, let all the peoples praise him. Again Isaiah says, there shall come the root of Jesse, and he who arises to rule over all the Gentiles, in him shall the Gentiles hope. Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that you will abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, the seminal verse for this particular discussion is Romans 15:4. Whatever was written in earlier times was written for our instruction, so that through perseverance and the encouragement of the Scriptures, we might have hope. What was written in earlier times would certainly include all of the wealth of narratives that we have recorded for us in the Old Testament. Now, just tell me, specifically from the wording in verse 4, first of all, what are some of the potential benefits that are listed in that verse from studying what was written in earlier times? Things like what? Give me one. Okay, hope. What's another one? Instruction. What's another one? Encouragement. And what's the fourth one? Perseverance. Now just think about that list, please. And again, these, according to the Scriptures, are benefits of what was written in earlier times. Instruction, perseverance, encouragement, and hope. Now, do most of our counselees need instruction, perseverance, encouragement, and hope? Yeah? Well, does the way we use narratives in counseling demonstrate that we understand that they are very, very valuable for encouragement and instruction and perseverance and hope? Some of us don't act like we believe Romans 15.